Hello and welcome to South Asia Chart, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Dr. Chulani Attanayaka, Visiting Research Fellow at ISAS. With me today is Her Excellency Shashikala Premawardhana, High Commissioner of Sri Lanka to Singapore. She will be sharing her views on 50 years of Sri Lanka-Singapore relations. Sri Lanka established formal diplomatic relations with Singapore in 1970. Since then, there has been an upward trajectory. Thank you, Your Excellency, for joining with us. So, Sri Lanka and Singapore are celebrating 50 years of establishing diplomatic relations this year. So, how has the relationship evolved?
Thank you very much to the Institute of South Asian Studies for inviting me for this podcast. Since the establishment of diplomatic relations between the two countries over years ago, we've seen the relationship evolve, robust and dynamic one. In fact, our ties go back more than the 50 years, of course, at least back to the 1800s. And given our similar locations along the ancient maritime trade routes, I'm certain our connections span even beyond that. So I would say that the two countries enjoy a warm and abiding friendship underpinned by mutual trust and understanding, shared cultural values, and a very strong people-to-people linkages. So there have been many eminent Sri Lankans who have contributed, as you know, Dr. Chulani, to the growth and development of independent Singapore.
Yes.
In fact, Honorable S. Rajaratnam, who served as Singapore's foreign minister and later as deputy prime minister, is of Ceylonese descent. But this is just one example, prominent example. But if you speak to Singaporeans across all walks of life, you will hear how Sri Lankans have contributed, be it in the medical, legal, administration, engineering, and education fields. And they've been involved with Singapore for many, many years. So I would say the cornerstone of our relationship is the deep-rooted connections between the two peoples of the two countries. Bilateral relations has been on an upward trajectory, particularly in the past few years, with high-level visits taking place. We're also grateful for to the government of Singapore, particularly for the assistance that they provided in the aftermath of the Easter Sunday attacks. As you know, Dr. Chulani, the Easter Sunday attack was the deadliest single-day violence experienced by Sri Lanka. And the first experience for Sri Lanka dealing with radicalized religious youth. So the interactions that we had, particularly with the Internal Security Department of the Ministry of Home Affairs of Singapore, was very, very crucial for us. And they continued to provide assistance. And in fact, the Minister of Home Affairs and the Minister for Law, Minister Shanmugam, has also visited Sri Lanka following the Easter Sunday attacks. And the latest visit, of course, was in January 2020 at the invitation of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa. So I would say the relationship is multifaceted. It encompasses political, trade and economic linkages, defense and security, technical assistance and training, cultural exchanges, and much more.
It is very interesting to know that we have a very multifaceted relationship with Singapore. But I think the progress of bilateral relations is mostly underpinned by trade and economic relations. Tell us more about how bilateral trade and investment have improved.
Thank you, Dr. Chulani. Yes, I agree that bilateral trade and economic linkages are very important for the relationship. Bilateral trade in goods, we've seen some fluctuation over the past few years. Now, in 2019, the total bilateral trade was valued at approximately US$883 million, of which Sri Lanka's exports was valued at US$115 million. And the main exports to Singapore are mineral fuels and oils, textiles, tea, precious and semi-precious stones, seafood, and you would be surprised to hear ships and boats and floating structures. So the boatings and vessels have actually contributed to increasing the value of the total exports, particularly in 2017 and 2018. In 2019, what we've seen is an increase in the export of apparel, alcoholic beverages, pneumatic and retreated rubber tires and tubes. So those are the sectors that has really grown in 2019. We see potential in seafood, Ceylon tea, drinks, processed food, coconut milk, food ingredients such as spices and essential oils, and activated carbon for future growth. And in the services sector, what I see is the IT and IT-enabled services. I think that has a really good potential for growth in the Singapore market. In fact, Sri Lanka sent a delegation for the FinTech Festival in November last year. And we are looking forward to FinTech 2020. Hopefully, I don't know whether it'll be virtual, but certainly we will certainly try to see participation from Sri Lanka. On the on the investment side, in 2019, we saw US$97 million worth of investments going into Sri Lanka. Singapore has invested a total of US$786 million during the period 2005 to 2019. So we have about 100 Singaporean businesses operating in Sri Lanka in various fields, in real estate, in infrastructure development, in food and food processing, in manufacturing, etc. So Singapore is in fact our fifth largest investment partner. So this bodes very well for the relationship between the two countries. The potential areas that we see in the investment field is export-oriented manufacturing, logistics, tourism and leisure infrastructure, and food processing. So that, I think, is roughly a picture of the trade and investment ties between the two countries.
Now, trade and investment is something we always talk about, but an area that gets less attention is skilled migration. There is an increase in Sri Lankan skilled labor moving to Singapore. How does this help to strengthen the relationship?
Dr. Shulini, skilled labor migration to Singapore has been on the increase in recent times. Traditionally, as you may be aware, we have had domestic worker segment working in Singapore. In fact, they contribute the larger component of labor migration from Sri Lanka. But lately, especially in the IT and IT-enabled services, hospitality, engineering, and infrastructure development sectors, we have seen skilled migration increase from Sri Lanka to Singapore. This is really a very welcome development for Sri Lanka. And we hope to see this development continue. And we also see new opportunities in the COVID-19 situation. We've had an increased demand for healthcare workers and caregivers as well. So we are working together with the Singapore side on trying to see how best we can increase skilled labor migration to Singapore. And I think it's important to have skilled labor migration to Singapore, as it will definitely strengthen the relationship between the two countries as well.
Yes. So apart from what you already discussed, I noticed that there has been some cooperation in the areas of vocational education training and public sector capacity building. So can you tell us more about that as well? Because these are the areas that get less attention in the bilateral relationship between the two countries.
The government of Singapore, we're very grateful to the government of Singapore because they have continued to provide training and capacity building assistance to Sri Lanka, particularly Sri Lanka's public sector, through numerous cooperation programs over the years. So Singapore's Ministry for Foreign Affairs extended support to the Singapore Cooperation Program. We have the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Enterprise Singapore, and several other institutions that have given us training, particularly on the trade side. We've had delegation exchanges throughout history, particularly in the recent past. They have provided training to the Export Development Board of Sri Lanka, and we've looked at how we can cooperate between the two countries. In addition, we are also very thankful to Temasek Foundation International and the Civil Services College of Singapore. They actually developed and carried out comprehensive public sector training programs for Sri Lankan civil servants. And we hope to see that continue in the future as well. There are so many institutions, Singaporean institutions, with which the Sri Lankan public sector cooperates. And the training assistance and the capacity building assistance that has been provided over the years is really too wide for me to mention by name, but I think I'd be failing in my duty if I don't mention organizations such as Sing Health, the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy, the Institute of South Asian Studies of the National University of Singapore, the Rajaratnam School, and also Center for Livable Cities, e-Government Leadership Center of Singapore. These are just a few of the cooperation that exists, which really demonstrate how the two countries cooperate with each other on training and capacity building.
Since you already talked about the support given during this pandemic, let me ask a little bit more about that. So due to the COVID-19, there are many Sri Lankans stranded in Singapore. And I noticed that Sri Lanka has been repatriating them from time to time. And recently, the Rotary Club of Singapore provided support to the stranded students. So how does the society has been supporting, apart from what you already mentioned about the government support?
Yes, we have worked with the authorities, the Sri Lankan and Singaporean authorities, in facilitating the repatriation of Sri Lankans who have been stranded due to the COVID-19 situation. So thus far, we've supported, we've done 3 repatriation flights with the support of Sri Lankan Airlines, and we hope to do more in the future. But these are, of course, very challenging times. And the support we received from the government of Singapore has been tremendous. So various Singaporean authorities, including the Ministry for Foreign Affairs and also the Immigration and Checkpoint Authority, supported us in this repatriation process, granting extensions of visas at no cost until we were able to repatriate our citizens. In fact, Temasek Foundation donated 10,000 test kits to us. They are also donating other medical supplies and equipment, including 75 ventilators, PPE, goggles, face shields, surgical gowns, etc. So this has been really, really useful for Sri Lanka, and particularly to the Ministry of Health of Sri Lanka. In addition to the formal support that we have received, several Singaporean charities have also supported us and provided cooked food, accommodation, dry ration to stranded Sri Lankans and students. And one such organization is, of course, Rotary Singapore, which provided us dry rations to support the student community for a period of 2 months. In addition, organizations such as the Mahakaruna Buddhist Society, Sushi Foundation, Hope Initiative Alliance, Jamia Singapore, Project Providence, and the Sri Lanka Singapore Business Association, and also several individual donors helped us to, in fact, even purchase air tickets for those who were unable to do so. So we have found extensive support during COVID-19 from the Singapore side.
Thank you for detailing all this information, Her Excellency. Now, we cannot avoid talking about this challenges also. One of the recent bottleneck in the bilateral relations was when Colombo halted the Sri Lanka-Singapore Free Trade Agreement, which was signed in January 2018. But since then, Sri Lanka has gone through some political changes domestically. Can you explain how the new Sri Lankan government is moving past this scenario to strengthen the relations?
Thank you, Dr. Chirani, for that question. Actually, I don't believe that the SLS FTA should be characterized as a bottleneck in bilateral relations. You know, this is a signed agreement between two countries, which continues to remain in force. Within the agreement itself, there is scope for the two sides to review the agreement as needed. And that is through the establishment of a committee. So I think the Singapore-Sri Lanka relations, which is built on mutual trust and understanding, and I believe that we have the ability to talk to each other and resolve any issues that there may be. So I have every confidence that the two countries can resolve any issues related to this agreement as well and move forward. Because I think it's an important development between the two sides. And therefore, I think we need to really look at how best we can move forward. And I have every confidence that we will.
Finally, tell us a little bit about how Singapore can help Sri Lanka in the Southeast Asian region. Especially, Sri Lanka has been asking to gain ASEAN observer status and eventual RCEP membership. How Singapore can help Sri Lanka in this regard?
Dr. Chulani, in 2016, what we did was we applied for sectoral dialogue partnership of ASEAN. And in 2019, we submitted a dossier to ASEAN detailing the work plan that we hope to achieve with ASEAN member countries. We have existing linkages, and there exists enormous potential for cooperation between ASEAN and Sri Lanka. Particularly given the fact that Sri Lanka is also very strategically located in the Indian Ocean and is a very important partner for ASEAN member states as well. And we believe that as an economic bloc, and as due to traditional linkages and friendship as well, and already existing cooperation with the ASEAN bloc, that we as Sri Lanka can also contribute. And therefore, our particular focus at this point is gaining ASEAN sectoral dialogue partnership. And for that, Singapore has always supported Sri Lanka. And in numerous interactions, they have reiterated their support. So I think we look to Singapore to continue supporting us in that process. RCEP, I think, is something that requires study and consideration in the future. But I think the first step is really to gain ASEAN sectoral dialogue partnership for Sri Lanka.
So thank you, Your Excellency, for joining us at South Asia Chat today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chulani, for the invitation. Thank you, Institute of South Asian Studies of NUS. So I look forward to working closely with you all in the future. Thank you.
On that note, thank you for listening to us. Please visit our website, www.isas.nus.edu.sg, to know more about our work. Have a great day.